out. I never did get to fly first class, but I'll get to that day. Thank God for it. Appreciate all the singing, testimonies. The Lord's just been good. We want to give you the burden of our heart tonight. And I'm glad, as Brother Nathaniel said, that we've got a Bible that we can trust. You don't have to take my word for these things. You don't have to go home and say, man, I wonder if that preacher was right. I wonder if what he said was true.
Amen.
But, boy, it's right here. And thank God it's a whole lot bigger than me. And what this book says, you can trust it. And I say praise the Lord for that. John chapter number 9, I'm going to start reading in verse number 35. Now, what's going on here in Scripture is Christ had healed a blind man. He had went before the Pharisees, and they had cast him out. Jesus sort of catches up with him here, and this is what he says in verse number 35. It said, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Let's pray this evening. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we come before you. Lord, do thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I appreciate the good service thus far. Lord, the songs, the testimonies, God, everything said and done. Lord, I praise your name for it. And surely you know our heart. Lord, we just want to lift and magnify your name. I pray, Lord, that you'll take your word tonight. And God, that you'll do with it as you please. And Lord, you'll just take these truths and burrow them down in our hearts. Lord, those that are lost. God, I beg that you draw them unto yourself. Lord, that you'd convict them and show them their need for salvation. And Lord, those that just need help, need a greater walk with you. Lord, I pray you'd help them too. Lord, I love you and I thank you for all that you do in your most precious name. Amen. You can be seated. Appreciate your good attention. Reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Now, I'll say this, Brother Kevin, just to start. This is some of my favorite scripture in all the Bible. This is one of my favorite stories. I love to look at it. I love to think about it. But as I was looking at this and just thinking, I want you to notice what it is that Christ says to this man. Now, again, Jesus at this point, he's healed him.
Yeah.
And this is what he said. He said unto him at the end of verse 35, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God?
Yeah.
And now notice what he said. It said that he answered and said, he's just being honest. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? In other words, in Jamestown terms, he said, I don't know who that is, but if you'll show him to me, I'll believe in him. And boy, I'm telling you, I got to thinking, Lord, just stirred this thought in my heart about how well do you know the Lord?
Right.
Now, what we find at the beginning of this chapter is this. As the disciples are talking, murmuring amongst themselves is what the Bible says. Says that they reasoned and they said, whose fault is it that this man was born blind? Says that he was blind from birth.
Right.
So, Brother Kim, they said, was it something that his parents done? Was it somehow something that he done or that he was going to do so that God made him this way? But Christ answers that question and he says, well, it wasn't him that sinned. It wasn't his parents that sinned. But he was born this day for a reason. He was born this way for this day, in other words. So he said, way back here, however old this fella was, let's say he's 40-year-old, 40 years ago, he was born this way so that on this day I could pass by this place and that God could get glory. Now, I've often thought about what a blessing it is, how many times that the blind man wondered about why he had to be born this way. Why did everybody else have sight and they're able to see, but he didn't have that. And the Lord answered all of those questions on this day. But what the Lord stirred in my heart today is this, is friend, I'm glad that the Lord does not change. Now, I thank God that I can look in my Bible, as Brother Nathaniel's done said, that I can look at these truths and say, man, Brother Ty, that's really something. That God would let a man be born blind,
that he would have all these years of anguish and trouble, and then one day, all in one fell swoop, that he would pass by and answer all of his questions, take care of all of his problems, and really let him know why it was that he had to deal with this disability all of his life, right? I mean, that is really something. But I'm also glad that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if God done that in his life, guess what? He's still doing that in your life. Now, I can't always understand all that. There's not times that it feels that way. There's not times that it looks that way. There's times that I go to God and I say, God, how could this be so? How could you ever receive glory out of this situation? But Brother Delmer, I'm glad the Bible ain't changed. The Lord's the same. Romans 8:28 is still in effect. He is still working it for our good. Even when our eyes say different, even when our ears say different, even when our heart tells us something else. Boy, I'm glad the Lord ain't like us, ain't you? But Josh was teaching in Sunday school just a couple weeks ago about our hearts, and they're up and they're down and they're up and they're down. But ain't you glad the Lord ain't like that? He's always the same. And so when I read these truths about this blind man in the book of John, Matthias, I'm glad I can say, Lord, I don't always know what you're up to in my life, but I'm glad to know that you are working it for your glory and for my good. And I say, praise the Lord for that. And I'll say this while I'm on that the Lord doesn't change. How he has dealt with man over time has changed. The fact of the matter is, we know that Moses and Abraham, they were not born again by the grace of God, right? But there are truths that carry over through the whole thing. And that's what I love about the Bible. Did you know that, you know how Abraham got in on this thing? Now listen, he didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and be born again. But what he did do is God came to him and said, I'm going to do something. And Abraham just believed God. He said, Lord, you said it. I'm going to trust it. I'm going to believe in it. The Bible goes on in the New Testament and it says that this was accounted unto him for righteousness. Ain't that something? That's why the Bible tells us that we are the children of Abraham. Now, that's not talking about physically. You do not have Jewish blood in your veins. Friend, tonight, you have not replaced Israel. Israel, those are national promises to a people. But I'm glad that the overarching theme of the Bible is this, is that although those are God's chosen people, and those are the ones who God the Father set his heart upon, there's a national thing going on there. But in the midst of all that, the same way they were created, which was by a man who just believed God and trusted by faith in God, that those things still carry over to today. So I can look back at somebody like Abraham, Brother Donnie, and say, wow, ain't that something that he just believed what God said. And so Abraham didn't have a King James Bible. He didn't have a good pastor. He didn't have a good church to go to. But you do. And guess what you need to do with that? It ain't changed. Still need to just have faith. Just believe in what the Lord said. Now, what I love about this scripture as we come to the end of that is what the Lord does with this. So it says, all right, here we go. I've done this physical thing for you. I have given you your sight back. He's went before the Pharisees. The Pharisees have examined him. They've said all sorts of things to him. They got mad at him. They cast him out. The Lord goes and he finds him and he says, all right. They kicked you out of the temple. He said, so there's something more that I'm wanting to do for you. When I came here today, I understand that you were born blind. I allowed that to happen. I understand that you went through a lot of things and now you're here. There's a lot of excitement. You're now seeing things for the first time. Your vision has been restored. But God says, I'm wanting to do something a little bit more than just that. Now, there are many people in your Bible who, Brother Tanner, the Lord healing their vision, that was enough for them. There's many people who came to the Lord, who wanted to see the works of God and see the miracles and have Him help him with some problem in which they had, and that was enough for them. And that is the extent of which they knew Him. He was this miraculous man who was a great physician who could heal many diseases. And that's all he was. And as far as this man knew, that's all he was. He said, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, well, who is he? He didn't know, Brother Creston. He didn't know that was him.
Amen.
And he says, for lack of better terms, he says, you're looking at him. It's me right here. And he says, Lord, I believe. And he fell down and he worshiped him. You know what happened to that friend? He got in on something a whole lot bigger than just his vision right there. The Lord done something big, but he said, I'm wanting to do something even bigger. Now, again, are these truths carrying over? Well, sure they are. So does the Lord want to help you? Sure he does. Does the Lord want to help your problem? Sure he does. But boy, he wants to do something so much bigger. Now, the blind man had to admit something, Brother Delmer. He said, I don't know him. And boy, there's a lot of folks today, they have trouble admitting that. I know you've heard about him. I know that you know facts about him. And that's fine. That's good. I'm glad that you know about him. I was raised up knowing about him, but I didn't know him. I mean, there's lots of people in the world I know lots of things about. I can tell you a ton of facts about Donald Trump, but I don't know him. We've never met. We've never talked. I don't know what he's like. I know how he perceives to be, but I don't know. I never talked to him. He don't know me. I don't know him. And there's a day as a 19-year-old kid that I didn't know the Lord. I mean, I knew a lot about him. Knew a lot of things. Knew, seen what he had done for everybody else. But I didn't know him. I'd hung around his people. I'd hung around his spirit. I'd been around all those things. See, that don't matter. I didn't know him. And so one day I had to come to the conclusion and be honest with myself. Like that old blind man. Say, you know what? I ain't going to stand here and pretend and say, oh, yeah, I know the Son of God. Yeah. Well, everybody knows him. Oh, duh. Ain't you? Do you not know him? See, he could have done all those things. But you know what? He was honest about it. He said, I don't know him. But now if you'll show me where he's at, if you'll point me in the right direction, he said, I'll believe you. And he said, it's me. And he said, oh, I said, well, that makes sense. That's never been done before. The Bible tells us that. Nobody was ever born blind and got their vision healed. That had never happened. And so he said, it's all coming together. It all makes sense now. See, there was a buildup. And God's doing the same thing for you. You're here tonight and you're lost. Guess what? The Lord's been, I preached that here one time. It's all a setup. It's all been bringing you to this point where God could say, this is me. And I don't have to be this object off in the distance. I don't have to be this person that you know about, that you've heard about, that everybody else talks about. But you can know me. If you really want to, you can know it. And I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? Now, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. We're going to read a little bit of scripture here. And I'll give you what the Lord's given me. Mark, chapter number 4. I'm going to start reading in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. The Bible says this, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, what the scripture here tells us is this. Now, this is not a lost man that's blind in the book of John. Little different situation. These guys, they know the Lord. But how they've been walking with him, they've been talking with him, they had seen him do some things. They knew this was not just your average Joe. They had an understanding of who it was that they were walking with. But as God does, he was revealing himself more and more unto them. And that's what I'm trying to get at tonight. And so what happens is this. They get out there on the sea, and things are not going well. The winds begin to blow. The waves begin to crash. The boat gets full. They're all, no doubt, they're fighting. They're scurrying. The Lord's down there. He's asleep on a pillow. They're up here. They're struggling. They think, man, we are going down. Where in the world is Jesus at? They were afraid. People, you know how it is when we're afraid. We get scared and we get frantic. And they got frantic, Brother Jordan. They run down to the Lord and they said, Lord, what are you doing? We know that you know what's going on up here. Do you not care that we're about to sink? This whole thing's about to go under. We're trying to get over here. We're trying to do something. And here, and we're just, can you please come help us? And then he gets up and he says, boys, what in the world? You know me. You know who I am. Why are you so fearful? And so the Lord goes up and he does something. Now, he done something that they could not do. And I don't know what they were looking for. I don't know what they thought he was going to do. But I don't think they thought he was going to do this. And so that he comes up and he says, hey, peace, be still. The waves, they said, okay, laid down. And what the Bible says is that there was a great calm. Now, look here. That's calm waters. I love adjectives in the Bible. It could have said it was calm, but it didn't say that. It said that there was a great calm. And so as they go out and they're here and it's been bad and they've been scared, and man, all of a sudden the Lord speaks and everything just settles down. Well, they're looking at a sea of glass, if you will. I mean, it's just totally... Okay, well, things get real serious then. Before this, there's this franticness. There's this fear. We know that because Christ said that they were fearful. He said, why are you fearful? Why are you feared? So he goes up and he does something. He handles a problem that they couldn't handle. Does a work bigger than what they're able to do. Praise the Lord for all of that. And he says, peace be still. The wind ceases. The water becomes calm. And then they start looking at each other. And notice what they say in that last verse. It said they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I love that word manner. I looked at these definitions and these are sort of my favorites. It says it's a sort or kind. What sort or what kind of man is this that he could do this? And not just that, but it said, this is Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says a certain degree or measure. So they said, what degree or measure of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, but Jordan, if anybody with any sense, they know who that is, right? This ain't just a man. This ain't just some fella. This is God with us. He's doing things that only God can do. All right, so they said that they wondered amongst themselves. And they said, what manner of man is this? Amen. Now again, I'm preaching tonight about how well do you know him? Right. They knew the Lord pretty good before that. Yeah. But you know what they're getting to do right here? They're getting to know him a little bit better. Right. Now what I want to stir in your heart tonight is this, is Brother Ty, for some people, being saved is enough. Yeah. For some people, having their problem solved, that's enough. God's the old spare tire, the old feller up high, the man upstairs. I talk to him every morning, they'll say lots of silly things like that. Irreverent towards God is what they're being, right? And what it is God's just kind of this thing over here. And when they need him, just like a spare tire, they pull him out. I got a flat. God, I'm broke. I'm sick. My family's fine. Please help me. Now listen, I'm glad that the Lord will help us in spite of ourselves. But I don't want that to be my relationship with him. And I hope that you don't either. But I know people well enough to know that for a lot of people, that's all they need. I'm blind again, Lord. Could you come by and fix it? But boy, ain't you glad that there are some fellas that said, you know what? We're not just going to be one of these people in these towns where he just passes by and they no longer walk with him. They said, we're going to stick with this guy. I mean, we're going to hang with him, and we're going to really get to know him. Now, Brother Creston, here's the fact of the matter. There are people in this room, I pretty much know everybody in here for the most part. They might be just four, five, six of you. Maybe I don't know your name. Vast majority of everybody else, I know you. We are acquaintances. We go to church together. I mean, I know you pretty good. But now there's some people in here that I know a little bit better. But Josh, there's some of us that we've been through a few things together. We've walked through the valleys. We've been in the trenches. But Savage, I just know them better, known them for longer. We have gotten to become great, great acquaintances. But now there's some in this room that I really know. I live with them. And they know me. Scary thought right there. Brother Creston, they know me. And I know them. I know their tendencies. I know what they like. And I don't, Brother Creston, I love you, but I do not know you as well as I know them. We are good friends. But we're not friends like that. And see, what I don't ever want to be is somebody who is in that position with the Lord. Now I know him. I'm saved, born again by the grace of God. Praise the Lord for that. And I don't want to just be sort of this acquaintance of him, though. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to stand at the white throne judgment and him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. He can't do that because he'd be lying because he knows me. I'm born again, and I say praise. But that ain't enough for me. That ain't all I want from God. That's not the extent of the relationship that I want to have with the Lord. And I hope it's not yours either. But if it is, and that's all you've wanted to this point, that's okay, because you can have more than that. The Lord, he wants to be close friends. He considers the church the bride of Christ. There is nobody in this room that I'm as close to as I am my bride. She is my best friend. She is the one that I know better than anybody. I mean, we know each other better than anybody else knows us. And I want it to be that way with the Lord. Yeah. Now, he knows me. He knows the hairs on my head. He knows all that. But I don't want him just to know about me. He may not know about him. Yeah. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? Yeah. So what happens here is the Lord says, Father, I want to know you, and I want you to know me better too. Right. So they looked at each other, and they said, what manner of man is this? The winds and the seas, they obey it. He said, now, you'll never convince me of this. These scriptures are laid out the way they are for a reason. He says, you guys want to know me? He said, let me show you something. So he goes on into the next chapter. And this is what he does. Now, he set out on this mission. Boy, I'm glad in the sovereignty of God, he knows, don't he? They get to the other side, you know, just so happens. There's a maniac in the tombs, comes running out. Boy, what a mighty work God did that day. Heals it. The Bible says there was a legion of demons in him. He cast them out, threw them into the pigs. The pigs run off into the sea. Boy, wow, what happened that day? Well, I'm glad for all that, ain't you? Yes, now, listen, I want to be in on those, but I don't want to miss out on those moments. When God wants to do something really big in my life, I don't want him to have to be tracking me down because I ain't been hanging around him, if you will. I want to be on the boat with him. I want to be there for this. And I dare say you probably do too. But this is what he showed him. He said, all right, now listen. I'm going to do this, but everybody ain't going to like it. Oh my. Ain't that something? Following the Lord, you can't be friends with everybody. I know that hurts. But it happens. I tell these folks I can't run with no more. We're just different. I love them. But we ain't running in the same direction. And so what happens is this. He casts those demons out into the swine. Well, guess what? He's over here across the Sea of Galilee. I don't know to what extent of these people are Jewish. I tried to read and study on that a little bit. In fact, we really don't know. There's some Gentiles, but no doubt there's some Jews mixed in, the ones that settled on the other side of Jordan, if you will. They're kind of all up and down through there. Well, guess what? You know what they're not supposed to have? Swine. That's unclean, right? They're not supposed to have that. And so what God does that day is he says, now listen. I want to do something real big in your life. I want to do a great work. I want to do a mighty deed. I want to really do something. But while I'm there, I'm going to take care of some problems. And he said, them pigs over there, they don't need to be there. And so I'm going to make sure that we get rid of those things while we also fix your issues. Well, guess what that done? They got mad. And then people come out of the town. They heard what happened. They said, what? He done what? Well, let's ignore the maniac that's healed. Let's ignore the great work that God has wrought. Let's ignore the fact that that sea is as still as we've ever seen it. Let's not even talk about any of that. He got rid of our pigs. I paid good money for those. I was looking forward to eating them. I had plans for that. He had no right to get rid of our pigs. That's our decision. So they said, you get out of here. That's what they told him. Read your Bible. That's what it said. McGavin, they said, we don't want to know him like that. We want to know. Hey, maniac, we've been trying to chain him up. We've been trying to do everything we could with him. We could not help him. That's great that he helped him. Good. Now, you ain't got no business intermingling with everything else. Boy, how many times? How many times have I approached the Lord in that attitude? Say, Lord, I've got problems, and I really need you to move right here. I really need you to do something. God, I need your help. And God says, I want to help you, son. But now we're going to address some things. And I say, no, that's not what I said. Not that. Not right now. I'm needing to talk about this. And the Lord says, yeah, but I want to address some things. You got some pigs, if you will. You got some issues that we need to resolve. There's some repentance that needs to happen. There's some things that need to be addressed. And then I walk away and I say, well, Lord, fact of the matter is, if you're not going to help me because of that, I'm just not willing. I'm not willing to address that. I just need you to get out. I just need you to go. Never mind. Never mind what I was asking. You say, preacher, you've done that before? Oh, yes. And if you're being honest, you have too. I believe it's about time I get ready for work. I was praying, I was asking God for help, but I better go jump in the shower. I better get ready. Let's wrap this thing up. Right? Who else been there? Amen. I've been there. I know. That's where we're living, ain't it? That stuff hurts. But now we've done established these truths, they carry over. Abraham, he just believed by faith. So if these truths were true in the book of Mark, chapter number 4 and chapter number 5, well, guess what? They're still true today. If it was right then, then it's right now. Now I ask you this question tonight, and I'm going to be done. How well do you know the Lord? And I think the greater question is this, is how well are you interested in knowing Him? Coming to church is really good. I'm really glad you're here. But Donnie, it tickles me to death. I go to a lot of places. There's just a few people there. And it grieves my heart. I'd love to see the places full. I walk in here tonight, and it's a Wednesday night, but I don't know how many people's here, enough to make me nervous. There's a bunch, right? I say praise the Lord for it. I'm glad you're here. But that ain't enough. You say, preacher, I'm saved. Well, that's good. If you ain't, you better get saved. That stuff Nathaniel's talking about, it's about to transpire. And I say praise the Lord for it. But now, is being saved enough for you? Is that all? I've got my ticket punched. I'm going to heaven. And I'm not going to get too far off track. But I don't want to get in too deep either. I've got pigs and they're my pets. And I want to keep them. I ain't interested in the Lord taking care of that. Well, that's where you'll get. Them people, them Gadarenes, they got just exactly as far with the Lord as they wanted to. He done one work and he left. As far as we know, that's it. Ain't that something? My goodness. There'll be folks, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 1, number 3, talking about the judgment seat of Christ. So there'll be folks in that day that they'll stand without. I mean, they're at the judgment seat of Christ. They're saved. It says he himself shall be saved. But man, everything he ever done, can you imagine? Totally burned up. They were always satisfied. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and that's all that I need. Well, I hope that's not you tonight. But if it is, it can be fixed. I'm going to have everybody stand to your feet. I'm going to have them come and get a song. You need to use the altar tonight. It's wide open. You can wait.